your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Everybody, and welcome to episode 31 of MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous, right here on Sideshow Network. I'm Sophie Venable, and I like to talk about anything around here, from parenting and money issues to sex and dating. We even talk about drugs and porn sometimes.
I love drugs and porn.
As long as it relates to your real life issues and making your life a little better. Not necessarily with the drugs and porn. Well, it could be.
Did you bring any drugs and porn? Because
Merry Christmas, Todd. Here's your drugs and your porn.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, and scene. So if you're new to MILF Talk, welcome. I am a psychologist, life coach, mother of two, and author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. I love helping people live authentic and joyful lives. So you can write to me and ask me your questions if you want at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com.
I have a lot of questions.
Well, would you please email them to me?
Yes, I will.
Okay. And if you want, you can also go to my website, makeyourlifefabulous.com, and you can pick up a free workbook.
Right. The free workbook.
Yeah. It kind of goes along with the book, MILF 101.
But it's not necessary to have the book.
Right.
101 to
right.
Get
it stands on its own. You'll kind of, I put enough explanation in there that you can just go get the free download. Right.
But you should get the book as well.
It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble if you're interested.
Get the book as well.
So thanks, Todd. So go get your workbook, and because, you know, the new year is a coming. And
2015.
That's right. And you can get clarity and set your goals, and we're going to talk about that stuff today. Mm-hmm. And it's free.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you should go get it. So the voice that you're hearing is the charming and debonair Todd Anderson, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, there he is. Yes. It's nice to be you. You just get applause.
I just get applause for being me.
It's nice. So Merry Christmas. This is actually airing on Christmas.
Oh, happy Christmas times. Happy holidays.
Yes. Happy holidays. Why are you listening to podcasts?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Because my family is over there and I'm getting away from them. Podcasts are huge on Christmas Day.
Are they? Yeah. Are they? Yeah, because you're avoiding the holiday stress.
You lock yourself in the bathroom and listen to podcasts.
Yes, today is the day that you are not engaging in
not
the drama,
fighting.
Right?
Not
Nobody's going to be fighting. Everybody's just going to sit back and be the observer.
Exactly.
Right? Yes, because we learned that last time.
Yes.
Yes. So what do you think the top 10 resolutions are?
Top 10 resolutions, lose weight.
Absolutely, number one.
What other than that, quit smoking.
Yeah. Number two,
quit drinking. Is that
one? Drink less. Basically you got your managing your debt, getting fit, saving money, eating healthy food,
saving money, of course,
saving money,
eating healthier. Yeah. That kind of goes with losing weight though, doesn't it?
Yeah. For some people, but even getting fit isn't always about losing weight, because you can be skinny fat.
Right.
Which is actually kind of dangerous for your heart, actually.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to have a high body fat percentage. Uh-huh. So even if you're thin, if you're kind of like squishy and fatty, you need some lean body mass.
I'm so squishy. So fucking squishy. It's horrible.
I think that's a little too much information.
And I quote, a Paul Simon song when I say, why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard.
Aww.
That's from Boy in the Bubble. It's from Graceland somewhere.
Aww. It's kind of lovely.
It's a good lyric.
So would that be one of your resolutions, do you think? To like get hard?
Yes. Well, yeah, I'm always trying. I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, I'm 42.
Okay.
I definitely have body dysmorphia, you know, that thing.
Uh-huh.
Cause like if I, and
that's when you like look in the mirror and you see something different than what's
Yeah, yeah, I probably don't look as bad, but I look in the mirror and see, I see my love. Like, the only things I see are
the
my
Pillsbury
love,
Doughboy, and you're
love
like
handles and my pale skin, and I'm like, God, I look like shit. My wife is a saint for dealing with me.
Oh, come on.
No, I swear to God that some days I'm like, oh, I look all right.
Don't talk about my friend that way. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah, I would, but I don't like. Can I like the? Okay, Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Gosling, all these guys, yeah. Hugh Jackman, with these awesome, you know, abs. Like I have to remind myself that these guys have trainers,
yeah.
Nutritionists,
yeah.
That the studios spend, you know, millions of dollars to keep them in the shape. So I don't need to have abs to be in shape.
No.
And
I don't think anybody's asking, waiting for you to get an 8-pack.
No.
Like it's, you know, it's just.
But sometimes I like wish I did. But then I'm like, well, you know, maybe I'm just looking at I should look at this layer of softness around my midsection as my layer of zombie apocalypse survival fat.
Good point.
Because when that happens, there's not going to be a lot of time to stop and eat. And I'll have these.
No,
I'll
you're going to have storage.
Cells. Yeah.
Actually, Naked and Afraid, that show, people who get in really good shape beforehand because they're going to be naked, they don't do as well. It's the people that pack on weight first.
Because they have stuff to burn.
Because sometimes they go a few days just like without eating anything. So,
makes sense.
So actually it's better survival to like pack on a little fat before you go do that. But that's not what we're talking about. That's not your New Year's resolution is to pack on fat so you can survive naked and afraid.
Well, maybe my New Year's resolution should be to get over, you know, my body dysmorphia.
Well,
to
love that. Wait a minute. I fucking love that resolution. Yeah, that's awesome because it's not, you're not even saying like my resolution is to lose 10 pounds. Your resolution is to get over the idea of losing 10 pounds or whatever it is.
Right.
Like I think that's.
Yeah. Because I exercise and, you know, I have like a policy of like eating well during the week.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, on the weekend I eat whatever shit I want.
Yeah.
You know, so I try to treat my body like a temple during the week, and then on the weekend it's a tent.
Well, it's actually not a bad way to go, except that, like, I mean, if you let's say you're, you know, maintaining your weight or whatever, and you look at 80-20, okay, you say, okay, 80% of the time I'm going to be really strict and I'm going to be in my routine and I'm going to do such and such 20% of the time. 20% of the time is actually only like 6 days a month. Mm-hmm. And if you're considering Friday and Saturday, that's 8 days. And if you throw in a Sunday brunch there, that's really like a dozen days. So you're kind of like twice the number of fun days.
You're not helping me get over my body dysmorphia.
No. I'm just saying.
No, you're like, right. You're right. For me, it's mostly Saturday.
It's mostly Saturday. So you're probably 80-20.
Yeah, probably. Or maybe 70-30.
So it's a good thing for you to just kind of be happy with where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And get over the self.
Yes.
Flagellation that you're doing.
The other thing I think I need to do is I've got to allow myself to relax. You know, I spend a lot of.
Do you ever meditate?
I do.
Yeah.
I do in my own way.
Well, there's lots of different ways.
But more than that, just sort of, because I'll get anxious, you know, about all this crap I have to do or about the way my career is going or not going and like stuff that's out of my control and it'll build up and I'll like suddenly realize, geez, I'm just like a stress case right now and I don't need to be.
Well, yeah. And one of the things you can do about that is to just do what's in front of you.
Right.
Like just get really present with what you're doing. Like I use this example in my book, like you're up in the morning and you're making lunch for your kid, like you're making the sandwich. Right.
Right.
Just make the sandwich.
Right.
Like when your brain starts to go to that place of all the shit that you have to do and because you start getting into the anxiety of the fact that you're not doing it at this moment.
Right.
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 Well, the reality is you can't be doing it at this moment. You're not supposed to be doing it at this moment. Your kid needs a lunch.
Right.
Make the sandwich.
Right.
That's it. And when you're done making the sandwich, then you can go find your car keys so that you can take them to school. Like you just have to stay
as present as possible, almost like everything that you're doing becomes a meditation.
Right. Yeah, I got to do that. I mean, it's...
And that's a practice. That's like a life practice.
Right.
And you can cue it sometimes with like a nice deep belly breath.
Right.
You know, just in for three and exhale for five. That's my favorite little pattern. There's lots of patterns.
Yeah.
Though.
I'm going to start doing that because like my life too, it's not like, I feel like I'd have an easier time if I had like more of a routine, a daily routine, but my career, it's like, I never know what my day looks like until like 8 or 9 o'clock the night before. Mm-hmm. And then things change. Like I suddenly have to go over here and over there.
Yeah.
So I never know. And like that, like lack of control over, mm-hmm. you know, my life, that like stresses me out.
Sure. And yeah. You have to be able to stay really present and just kind of adjust to change. Like you're kind of always fluid,
right?
You know, and that in itself is a practice. And I think actually a lot of people, there's more and more self-employed people, more people that work at home, mm-hmm. you know, from home. So, and there's, in my situation where, there's a divorce, I have my kids, split, mm-hmm. Custody. Mm-hmm. So half the week I'm in mom mode and right. half the week I'm in like self-focused, you know, entrepreneurial, like work. And then also like try to manage my relationship because that's the only time I have to do it. And then, mm-hmm. you know, so I have to kind of change hats all the time.
Right.
And it's
you
very
have like
challenging.
A Sybil amount of personalities.
I kind of do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least three.
You know,
so, yeah.
She had like a lot more than that, but
a lot more than that. I have a hair on my face. So, I think it's kind of a common, problem for people is to one, create routine where there is none,
mm-hmm.
and also fit in the self-care things that have to happen as well while you're trying to get your whole life done.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things that that the workbook and the way I like to do goals is helpful because I really believe in micro change,
mm-hmm.
meaning like if you set a New Year's resolution and you say, okay, I want to lose 20 pounds,
right.
you know, or I want to, stop eating sugar, mm-hmm. whatever. The problem with going cold turkey is not that it never works,
mm-hmm.
but it works less often.
Sure.
It's much more shocking to your system and you haven't figured out how to make that change within your daily routine.
Right.
Okay. So you're just sort of making the entire change and then you're going to figure out your daily routine. And I don't mean figure it out like what time are you going here and there. I'm talking about how you feel like shit at 4 o'clock in the afternoon now because you haven't had what you're used to. And,
right.
you know, how are you going to manage that? And you don't like you haven't actually lived it day to day at any level except mm-hmm. the extreme, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of setting yourself up for failure.
Yes.
Okay. And then with failure comes like shitty feelings about it. And then we just kind of, oh, whatever. I just got to do my life. I can't do that. You mm-hmm. know? So I really believe in making small goals. So if you say, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, you know, you need to get very specific about that. How are you going to do that? What kind of change are you going
to
make?
And how long are you giving
and
yourself to do
that? And how long are you giving
yeah.
yourself to do that?
Yeah.
And even then, even if you say like, I'm going to do it in 6 months, it's like, okay, what if you don't? Like, let's actually talk about what you're going to do first,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to eat less sugar. All right. Well, how are you going to do that specifically? Okay. Well, I drink a soda every day. I can cut that out.
Right.
Okay. So cut out the soda for a week.
Yeah. That's a good place to start.
Do everything yeah. else the same.
Yeah. Just to, yeah.
and see how you feel without your soda. Right.
Right.
And see what you need to replace it. Do you need like a little like cool can of soda water or something? Or do you, you know, like, and how do you feel? Okay, great. So now I'm not going to have sugar cereal in the morning. I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have an egg instead. Okay.
Right.
And you make these little changes because now you're integrating the change into your life day to day.
And then eventually it just becomes your new habit.
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, I don't drink soda,
right.
But I used to. I mean, I don't really know how it all kind of, I mean, I can tell you the little stages, but anything that you change, mm-hmm. that you've genuinely changed probably over the last 10 or 20 years, mm-hmm. you did gradually, most likely.
Right.
Right. Of course you can, get sick, hit bottom, whatever. And you can, change things dramatically, but I'm talking about most of the time. You know, most of the time, if you became a vegetarian, you probably stopped eating, red meat, and then you stopped eating mm-hmm. chicken, and then you stopped eating fish, and then
right.
And so the and it didn't feel painful, and it still felt, you still felt kind of cohesive and like yourself, mm-hmm. and you start making this micro change, and the next thing you know, you are 20 pounds thinner, and you're not white knuckling it. You're not like grabbing onto the edge of the desk going, I need food.
Yeah.
So I think that New Year's resolutions are great, but I think it's important to start small, look at it, not a January 1st goal, but a 2015 process.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I actually, lost 30 pounds 2 years ago. I was 30 pounds heavier, and it took me a year to lose those 30. But yeah, it was slow. But I did because in the past when I tried to lose weight, I would lose it, drop it really fast, but then get it right back. So I totally did that.
Because there's this notion that you can lose 2 pounds a week. Right. Like people want to lose 30 pounds in 4 months,
Right.
And they feel like that's a really long time. 30 pounds is a massive amount of weight.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It should take you 60 weeks.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to add in, birthdays and events, and you're going to get a cold, and you're going to, and you're going to you're going to travel, you're going to have weird food for a week. You have to factor in real life.
Yep.
You can't achieve your goals in a bubble, in a vacuum.
No.
Right. And so we want to be able to incorporate our higher goals and the things that we want to do into our daily life, whether it's meditation or even changing your thought process about yourself.
Right.
It's you have to make that tangible, not just you have to kind of make the thought tangible. What is the thought? The thought is, I look doughy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cause that's what you see. Well, when you notice that thought, you need to pick something that you say to yourself or that you do, you can tap yourself or pinch yourself or do something that makes you go, no, I'm healthy.
Right.
I feel good. And you literally need to make that tangible and replace that thought. And that just becomes the practice. And that's the one little goal is mm-hmm. when I notice myself thinking this, I'm going to say this instead.
Right.
And then that can, that can increase to, I'm going to buy myself one nice shirt that I wouldn't have bought before because I didn't think I looked good enough in it or whatever, these little goals can increase over time, but starting with one little thing that you can change, mm-hmm. Is what is, I believe, actually going to start the ball rolling in the right direction, which you just kind of said too, with your weight loss, when you slowed it down.
Yeah.
It became, are you fighting to keep it off or,
no,
you're 80-20 kind of working for you?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, and I do sometimes, fall off the 80-20 because you say, there's
life.
Sometimes life happens and you go through 2 weeks where there's just lots of stuff going on and you're eating lots of crappy food. And then, I do watch my weight and if I get above a certain mark, I'm like,
right.
I gotta get back on track.
Right.
And usually that weight goes away pretty quickly as soon as I go back on track. It's just I can't be bad for too extended a period otherwise.
Right, because you have found a habit.
Yeah,
that works.
Exactly.
That keeps you.
And it is easy to fall back into old habits. Because, I do like stuff that's bad for me. I do really like beer, which I don't drink as much as I used to.
That's really unusual.
But I like beer. And I really like potatoes.
Oh, I love potatoes. They're
and
so bad for
steak.
You.
I love all this stuff that's bad for me.
I like fried calamari and martinis.
Oh, stop it.
I know,
stop it. But that's the thing. It's like, and you know, one of the things that helped it was saying, okay, because it's really easy to be lazy and go out to eat.
Oh yeah.
And like that is like when I was gaining weight, as much weight, I was like, that's why, because we're going out to eat way too much.
Oh yeah. Because you don't know what you're eating really when you go out to restaurants. No. I mean, there's just extra fat and salt and
well, yeah. And like yeah. most of the stuff on most menus is not like,
no,
not the healthiest
fat
stuff.
And butter,
when you cook, when you do your own cooking,
yeah.
it's just, I don't know. It's just better. It's just healthier.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. It's like, let's not eat out as much, stay home, cook the chicken, you know, the white meat and stuff.
Right.
We'll only have red meat when we actually do go out.
Right.
It's not, you know, constant.
So little changes where you're not saying I'm not going to eat dinner. You're
right.
just saying, hey, we're going to cook at home. This is like doable, manageable stuff.
Right.
You
exactly.
know? And it can be, I'm going to go out one less time a week mm-hmm. this month, you know, start small. Because if you say we're never going out to dinner, now you also have to learn how to shop and plan meals and every like for 7 days a week. Like,
right.
So you're piling on because
right.
what you've done now is you've created like 18 other goals within that one goal. How are you really setting yourself up for success in that
right.
moment, right? So if you say we're not going to go out to dinner on Friday nights, we're going to cook at home. Okay.
Right.
And that's like the one thing you change. Oh, well then suddenly by the third or fourth Friday night, you're like, oh, this is, I get this. Like I can do this. There's like three or four meals I know how to make now. So
right.
maybe we can not go out to dinner on, you know, Monday night or whatever it is.
Totally.
So, so that's really how the success begets success,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it feels good and it's encouraging, and you have when you keep promises to yourself, that's how you build your self-esteem.
That's true. So, you do feel better about yourself.
You do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So so another big goal is saving money, right?
Sure.
That's another thing. Again, this has to be tangible, because the hardest thing about saving money and keeping track of your money now is that everything is digital. Everything's
oh, yeah.
plastic. Everything, like, you can't, you know, you got auto pay on your bills. You got this and that. It's really
yeah.
hard to know where your money goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fairly good at it, and I still have to go like, wait, why? And I go, oh yeah, I forgot. There's like medical copays and braces and this and that. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you know, like
things,
where
yeah.
did that go? You know?
Yeah.
And it's time consuming. So if you want to save money, again, you have to make that tangible. I don't know if you have to like turn it into cash and stick it in your mattress, or if you have to open up a separate account.
Right.
And you have to physically, you know, or digitally, whatever, transfer the money into that account. You can't just assume if you knock your cable bill down $50 that you're going to save $50 a month. You're
right.
going to just spend it on a dinner.
Right. But
you know what I mean?
Yeah, right? Totally.
So you have to actually say, I'm going to send that $50 to a savings account, or I'm going to send it to that credit card bill and pay that down.
Right.
Or whatever, you know, whatever right. it is you're going to do. So, because you have to make those things tangible, or they get out of your control.
Yes.
You know? And again, you know, small amounts. Like if you want to save a certain amount, save, you know, $25 a week, and then the next month save $45 a week, or
right.
whatever it is, you
right.
know, start out small and increase it, because then you'll learn how to function with it
mm-hmm.
as you go along.
Sure.
So
that's good advice. That's solid. I'm terrible about money. I'm so bad.
Money's difficult.
I like too many things that cost money. That's my problem. Yeah. I like
that
a lot of
stuff.
That
is the human condition.
I like a lot of stuff that I have to pay for.
Yeah, but right now I just want to throw away all my stuff. When it comes to like all this holiday crap being out, I just want to like
oh.
take it all and just donate it all and just get rid of it.
There it is. Yeah. Yeah. I cleaned out my garage yesterday. It felt good to throw some stuff out. I'm like, why do we have all this crap that just sits here in the garage we don't use?
That's another New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
Like to not keep so much
stuff. So much stuff.
That's one of mine, actually. I really, yeah. I mean, I feel like I get rid of stuff a lot, but I need to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, my kids are not at that age anymore where they just buy a bunch of plastic stuff, you know, like,
yeah.
like the, Ugh. That yeah. drove me nuts. Like that,
yeah.
that age category mm-hmm. when the kids just, oh my God, like the family at Christmas, it's like this influx of
garbage. just plastic garbage.
Yeah. Garbage and more stuffed animals. And the problem with stuffed animals is that they're emotional. So you have them forever.
They're emotional and like attract allergens.
It's just terrible. Like I can't, I'm not allowed to throw any of these things away. Right. Cause they all have names. Yeah. They all have histories.
We got this thing and we jammed all the stuffed animals into it and it's a seat. It's like a beanbag chair, but it's filled with stuffed animals instead of beans.
And is it clear? Like, can you see it?
There are parts where you can see inside and you can see, but it's basically like a seat. It's like a beanbag seat.
That's genius.
But it's filled with stuffed animals.
Can I like Google that and find it?
I think so. I don't know what it's called, but yeah, we were like, it's just, yeah, it's cool. And he uses it and sits and reads on it. It's filled with all these
stuffed animals. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you can take it to college with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's your first piece of furniture.
It's your furniture, yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that idea.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool.
Wow. That's so cool.
And the other thing about it is now there's not stuffed animals everywhere.
Well, exactly.
They're all in one place.
That's the thing. I mean, my kid would probably need like a couch, but, you know, we could start with a beanbag chair.
Yeah, start small. Or get a bunch of these
things. And it's all like, you know, there's Snakey and Pinky and Huggies and Cupcake. And I mean, I know all their names. Like, they're just, they're all...
They're family.
You know, they're family. They're family. Yeah. Honey Bear.
Yeah, Honey Bear is very cute.
I thought Honey Bear was a lot bigger. Honey Bear looks so small now because she's bigger. Yeah. You know. But
I still have my teddy bears from when I was a kid.
You know, mine are gone. I put them away at my dad's house and I don't know, somebody just tossed them.
Yeah.
All gone.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. So
everything got so sad. Christmas is sad.
Happy fucking New Year, man.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
Quitting smoking.
Fuck that. There's no way. It's the hardest thing.
Well,
the hardest thing.
Here's the problem with even giving advice about quitting smoking.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is a really big New Year's resolution. I think that you have to. One, most people who are trying to quit smoking have tried before.
Sure.
Okay. And if you do feel that it is physiologically impossible, then you need to try another way. Like, I don't know if you need to patch or you need to, you know, like not work your way down with a vape or whatever. But you have to acknowledge the fact that going cold turkey is too painful or is setting yourself up for failure again. There needs to be like a plan and research because some people are not physiologically addicted to nicotine, which is amazing. But I actually do know quite a few people who smoke socially. You know, they don't need to smoke all the time, but
fuck those people.
but they are socially and psychologically addicted to it. It's really, really difficult, nearly impossible for them to be in a social situation and say no. Like they might say no a couple times, but by the end of the night, it's like, fuck it. And they've got, you know,
the drinking leads to the smoking.
Right.
For sure.
Right. So you either like if you can, you know, if you're one of those people who physiologically can do that, then you need to make some decisions about like, I'm going to limit myself to two, or I'm just not going to do that, or I'm not going to, you know, I mean, whatever. You have to set yourself up. You have to go, well, then I can't drink because if I drink, I'm going to smoke. To deny that there's hurdles. Or to is part of the problem. You know, you're going into it in resistance with issues that you are already know are working against you.
Right.
And you're blaming yourself for not having the willpower.
Right.
Right.
And it's
willpower
a vicious,
is way fucking overrated.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my point is that if you just leave everything up to willpower and then you just throw your hands up and go, I guess I have no willpower. Then what does that mean? That means that you never change.
Right.
right?
Right.
On one hand, it's sad to me because you're sort of just, you know, setting yourself up for like, I'm a failure. I can't fix this. And it's also a little lazy. Mm-hmm. Like you have to like remember that kind of putting yourself in that kind of victim situation, you're really underestimating yourself and letting yourself off the hook for something that's really meaningful to you. I mean, I don't care. Let yourself off the hook all the time for lots of things. I don't care. But if it's meaningful to you, then don't do that to yourself.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we think things are supposed to be meaningful to us and we give ourselves pressure, you know, to change those things. Well, like you said, don't fucking lose 10 pounds. Just change how you feel about your 10 pounds. I think that's a great plan.
Yeah.
I love that.
And maybe by doing so, you reduce that stress and you'll wind up losing weight because you're sleeping better, one.
Yeah.
And you're probably not doing bad things because you feel bad about yourself.
No, it's true. Because it's all like, part of a shame cycle. It's all part of, you know, I feel bad about it. Oh, I'm not good enough. So I'm not worthy of love. So I'm just going to make myself better, feel better by eating. Oh, now I feel so bad about eating. Now it's a vicious circle. Actually, we're going to talk about that on another show very soon with a food and lifestyle expert, which I'm excited about that because she deals with issues, food thing. Issues, yeah, that very thing all the time, and like creating a new relationship with food.
Right.
And again, it, like you were saying, that has to start with valuing yourself mm-hmm. and valuing how you treat yourself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So, and that's where, you know, when you're going to make these resolutions, you want to look at who it's serving. Mm-hmm. Who are you doing it for?
Right.
And really look at why it's important to you. That's a really important question to ask yourself. Right. Like, I want to do this. And what do you specifically want to do? And why is it important to you? Mm-hmm. And when you can answer that question, you can sort of figure out, you can have lots. If you do these micro goals, mm-hmm. you can have lots of New Year's resolutions,
That's true.
But if you set yourself up, like, I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to lose 40 pounds. I'm going to do it by February 28th. I'm never going to eat sugar again. And you're just going to,
right.
But you know, by January 2nd, you're going to be with a cigarette and a beer and a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Like, and just
and
go
probably
and just go like, and masturbating saying I have no willpower. There's a picture.
There it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So
actually that sounds pretty good.
Oh, well, here's your porn that I brought you.
Thank you for my porn and my drugs.
So I also noticed that one of the top 10 resolutions was, and I think this is kind of sweet, recycle. Recycle your shit, people.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I never needed a New Year's resolution to do that. I'm big into recycling things.
Yeah. So reduce, reuse, recycle. Use your damn shopping bags, right?
Right.
That's not difficult.
Well, you have to now. They charge you.
I know. Now they charge you. Yeah. Keep them in your car. But you can't keep them in the trunk because then you don't see them. You got to keep them in the back seat so they float around and you remember to take them in.
I've gotten better about that. But when that first happened, I would always get in line with my mm-hmm. all my groceries and be like, shit, I left the bags out in the
all
trunk.
All the time.
And then, yeah. And then I have to.
Even with the sign out front that says,
yeah.
Did you bring your bags in? I stopped seeing that sign.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It's just now it's just a thing that's always there.
All the time.
It's all there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it needs to be like flashing.
Yeah. I've gotten better. I just, you know, but that's the thing. It's like when you create a new habit,
yes,
you're going to screw up.
My new habit is I had to literally go, don't put them in the trunk, put them in the back seat.
Right.
And that in itself was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I would still forget them once in a while, but most of the time I remember them because they would be in the back seat.
I would forget them more in the back seat than the trunk.
Oh, really?
Which is like probably bad because I never look in my back seat, which, you know, there could
Why
be.
Why are you looking in your trunk all
there
the time?
There could be criminals back there. And I don't well, because I just,
there's a
I don't
bunny
know.
Living in his back seat.
I have a bunny.
He has a pet. He doesn't know.
Oh, I forgot about the bunny. I should get him some carrots. I don't know why I remember in the trunk. I don't know. Something about the ritual about popping the trunk and I don't know.
Pop the trunk.
Pop the trunk.
That's a requirement in my house. If you say, Mom, you know, can you pop the trunk? You have to sing that song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. It just became a thing.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah. I don't know. So, but one of the... Oh, she's so brilliant. Another, well, we already talked about drinking less alcohol, but the other is to volunteer to help others. This is a tough one for me. I don't know that this is, I mean, my general like feeling right now in life is I do want to be of service, you know?
Sure.
But I don't think I'm at that stage yet where I can like go and volunteer out there too much. I think that will like send me over the edge.
I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
And I never do it. And yeah. One of these days I'm gonna, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. Like, I think about it. I'm like, that'd be good. I think
it's a wonderful thing to do if you feel like it's a great way to find your purpose.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're feeling like, gosh, I sort of work from 9 to 5. I come home, I watch TV and I just don't know why I'm doing this. And, mm-hmm. you know, then yes, go out and volunteer and like get to know what's going on mm-hmm. with the people in your community and find a way to be of service because that feels really, really good.
Right.
You know, I think right now I just feel like I'm in the stage of my life where I'm in service constantly.
Yeah. You're serving. Yeah. Yeah.
Because at our age, you know, you've got parents and kids, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so many of us are kind of stuck in the middle of raising kids and, you know, making sure that our parents are okay and stuff like that. And,
right.
and I'm not in like 24/7 handling my mom, but I have definitely responsibilities there. And then my work, I like to try to remember to be in service and what can I do that's helpful. So I sort of feel like that's kind of for me 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
You know?
Well, I mean, and like volunteer work can be very time consuming.
Yes.
And it's like, I think about that, but then I'm like, but I need to sit on the couch and watch TV. I need my me time and my downtime.
Right.
But
you kind of have to.
If I was super
figure
rich,
out where it fits into your life,
like filthy rich, like lottery winner rich, and I didn't have to
then
work,
we would then be
I
friends.
I probably wouldn't be here right now. I'd be off traveling or something.
Yeah,
seeing the world.
Yeah,
but I'd probably do volunteer work if I was super rich.
Oh yeah, I could definitely see you doing that.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah. I do think there's. That's not a requirement to do volunteer work. There's lots of people who do volunteer work who are not super rich, but they're better people than
they're
you.
They're way better people.
And better than
way,
me.
Way better people. Yeah.
I love those people.
Yeah, they're great people.
But if that is something that's on your list mm-hmm. to do, the first thing to do is to make a phone call. You know, because sometimes it becomes very much out there, like, oh, I'm going to do that, but I don't know how to do that. So then the goal like can just be as simple as I'm going to call 3 shelters.
Right.
By Monday.
Right.
You know,
and see
and
what
say,
I can.
And then just gather information.
Right.
You know, what can I do?
Right.
So it makes the whole thing become, again, more tangible.
Mm-hmm.
So figure out, you know, what it is you want to do, why it's important to you, and then mm-hmm. figure out your very first little baby step.
Yeah.
And then from there, the other stuff will become apparent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will be inspired action.
Yeah.
So
I had a friend who volunteered at the, my God, I want to say it's the Braille Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like he just read books into a microphone recorded.
I want to do that.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah. I would do that too. I mean, but it takes a lot of time. Because you're reading a whole book into a mic. But yeah, he did that for a long time.
But that's cool.
I think it is cool.
I think that's fun. But maybe that would be self-serving.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but is that right? Like,
because
if you're doing...
Fun. There's a Friends episode about that.
Oh, self-serving volunteer work?
Yes. No, Phoebe... No. Joey claims that there's no good deed that's not self-serving because it makes you feel good. And Phoebe calls him. She goes, I let a bee sting me, because then he could, you know, look cool in front of his bee friends. And Joey goes, you know, the bee died after he stung, right? So anyway, Todd hates my friend's obsession, but it's okay.
I don't hate your friend's obsession.
It's not even an obsession. I just have seen every episode. Like
I get it.
Times,
I just was in the wrong place when that show started. That's all. Because I lived in a shack in the back of an alleyway in Astoria, Queens, while working basically all the jobs that the friends had, like, on their own.
But all six of them?
And I did not have, yes.
You were a massage therapist and an actor and a waiter?
And
a chef?
I'm speaking metaphorically.
And a paleontologist?
I had a lot of jobs. Let's put it that way. And I lived in such a crappy place, and they had such a nice apartment.
I know.
And I couldn't get
but
past that.
But that's because her grandmother was... had rent control. That's why she had it.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But it wasn't the writers needing to justify anything. It was like I sat in a shitty place.
You just hated them.
And I couldn't watch it because I was like, I wish I hadn't lived there, but I don't. It was hard. It was difficult.
I know.
I watched it more when I left New York. It's like, oh, this show's not so bad.
Well, all right. I'll let you off the hook.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's okay. Plus, their hair was too big. There was a while. It was just too much.
Yeah,
it's okay. So, did you learn anything today?
I did.
Maria, did you learn anything today? Do you have a New Year's resolution?
Yes.
What is it?
I do have a New Year's resolution. I want to complete a podcast pilot in the form of Serial.
Oh, like the Serial podcast?
Yeah, like podcast. I want to do like sort of like a pitch one to show like Sideshow Network that it's good and we can do it and it's not difficult.
Ah,
cool. So what's your first step?
I already have the idea. So my first step is after the new year, rounding up all of the people I want to interview and starting to schedule.
Okay.
Cool.
So you need to make a wish list of people.
Yes.
Right?
You have
your wish list of people.
I literally, at this point, just need to wait until Christmas is over and I'm back.
And then you can start making your phone calls.
And then I can start the whole process.
Right. Cool. So you're on it.
I'm on it. I got it.
It's very exciting.
That's very cool.
I like that. It's going to be a cool 2015 around here. I'll back you. All right. So that actually is our show today. So tell us how we can find you.
You can find me on the streets of Los Angeles, wandering around trying to get work. Just look for me there.
Or at toddrobertanderson.com.
You could go to the website, yeah, or okay. Watch the film Pigs on Geek Nation, okay. Or look at You're the Worst, which is on so many top 10 lists. You're the Worst.
I keep seeing good things.
Tons of top 10 lists.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
I'm very excited about this.
I am too.
For you because... I like that you're working. It's pretty rad.
I like it too.
Yeah. So you can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable, and you can find my book, MILF 101, on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble, Nook, iBooks, all kinds of things. You can tweet me at MILF Talk. Be nice.
Who would tweet you?
I'm a little new to the Twitter.
You're new to the Twitter?
Yes. And, you know, there's...
You got.
I don't even know if I want to bring it up, Maria.
Sarcastic, sardonic?
It's not really worth it.
There were haters.
No, there was just the, you know, boys will be boys, and tweeting gets silly. So so never mind.
Well, I feel like I want to hear more about this.
Okay. Off air. So
fair enough.
So get your free workbook at makeyourlifefabulous.com. It will be great for your New Year's resolutions. Just start going through those pages and filling out, answering the questions. Remember, make your intangibles tangible. Mm-hmm. You can also, every once in a while, I'll do free workbook tips also on my blog, and I'll put a little downloadable PDF so you can add it to your workbook. So it's, you know, it's cool and it's free. So you should go get it. So thank you, Todd, for being here.
Thanks
thank
for
you,
having me.
Maria, for being awesome. And that's our show today. Thank you all for listening.